Mark 10:46. Then Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. As they, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, good morning. Shall we pray together before we get into God's word? Let's pray. Father God, we ask that you would come by your Holy Spirit and speak to us. Would you show us the truth about Jesus? Would you show us some of our blind spots so that we can live like Jesus and know him better? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, turn your eyes to the video. We're going to look at a clip about basketball.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
No!
Didn't see the moonwalking bear as it went past. Yeah, it's very difficult, isn't it? Because, of course, you were distracted by the white team making their passes, and no doubt you were very proud of yourselves when you counted 13 passes, and you perhaps almost went, "Wow, I did 13, and then you felt a little bit silly because there was a moonwalking bear walking across the screen. The truth is that all of us have blind spots. And it's very often because we're distracted. You were distracted by the white team doing their passes. Often we're distracted by an ambition. We've got something ahead of us we're trying to achieve. There's something that we really want, and we're so focused on that that we can't see what's going on around us. And God wants to reveal our blind spots. And the whole of Scripture is about showing us what our blind spots are. But this passage in particular, focusing around Jesus' encounter with Bartimaeus, is about revealing two very specific blind spots that Bartimaeus sees so clearly. Even though he's blind, he can't physically see, he sees them really clearly. But the disciples who have been following Jesus for almost 3 years, they don't see them, and the crowd certainly don't see them. And I wonder if even some of us who've been coming to church for a long time or following Jesus for perhaps a long time, we miss those things too. Perhaps we don't see because we have blind spots, because we're focused perhaps on something else. And there are two things. The first thing is this, Jesus' identity. The passage in which it's in Mark 10, do keep your Bible open, by the way, if you've closed it. In Mark 10, verses 46 to 52, is all set around Passover, the Jewish feast, where they remember God's people being rescued from Egypt, out of slavery, and brought into a promised land. It was a hugely important festival. And as a result, every male would be expected to attend Jerusalem within a certain walking distance. And so as Jesus walked out of Jericho, not the Jericho, the Battle of Jericho, but a new Jericho built by Herod the Great with his big winter palace. But as Jesus walks out of there, the crowd is swelling. And it would have had an atmosphere of festival, of a carnival. Perhaps not quite the atmosphere of the latest James Bond opening scene, if you've seen that, but an electrifying atmosphere nonetheless. And people would have been wondering, Jesus is going to Jerusalem, what's going to happen? And certainly, as we read Mark's Gospel, we're wondering that, because Jesus has already said three times, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die on a cross at the hands of the religious leaders and the authorities there. And so we wonder what is going to happen as Jesus goes to Jerusalem. But there's one person who sees Jesus really clearly, even though he's blind, and it's Bartimaeus. And when Bartimaeus sees, when Bartimaeus realizes that it's Jesus of Nazareth, verse 47, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. In the Old Testament, the people of God were promised that a king would come. And they would that king would come from the family tree of David, Israel's greatest king. So when Bartimaeus says, Jesus, Son of David, he's recognizing that Jesus is a king. Now, in that time, people knew what a king was like. A king was a warrior and he was a judge. So he would come and destroy enemies and he would judge them and bring justice. That's what they felt a king would do. And of course, that is true of Jesus, isn't it? In some senses. Is he a warrior? Absolutely. He fights against the powers of darkness. He destroys evil. That's what he came to do. And he will one day do that gloriously when he finally defeats Satan and he's thrown in the lake of fire. And he is a judge as well, isn't he? We will all face God one day and give an account for our lives. And Jesus is that judge. So he is a warrior, he is a judge. But Bartimaeus sees something else as well. He doesn't just see that Jesus is the Son of David. Because look, he says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Notice that Bartimaeus doesn't say, Jesus, Son of David, you're a warrior, you're a judge. Give me justice. That's what the cry of most of Israel was. Give me justice. This isn't the way we want to live. We don't want to live occupied by the Romans. Give us justice. Come and rescue us. But Bartimaeus says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What is mercy? Well, if justice is getting what you deserve, mercy is getting what you don't deserve. Wayne Grudem says that mercy is God's goodness to those who are in despair, those who are suffering, those who are hurting, those who are in misery. And that is what Bartimaeus calls out to Jesus, saying, Jesus, I need your mercy. I'm in a time of despair. I'm struggling. I need your mercy. I don't need what I deserve because I know about my sin, but I need your mercy instead. I was on a train a while ago coming back from Lewes to Hastings, and I changed at Hampden Park and went over the railway bridge. And a man next to me said, isn't that Eddie Izzard? Because he lives in Bexhill area, apparently. And I said, I don't know, because celebrities always look different in real life, don't they? They all look the same height, but you know, but if you actually met Jack D or Rob Brydon or someone like that, you'd realise they're very, very small. Bart would look quite tall, actually, in comparison to them. But they all look the same height, and so I was like, I don't know, I'm not sure. But the more you kind of look, you go, oh yeah, he does look a little bit like Eddie Izzard. As I began to think, maybe that is him. And then, of course, I love to strike up conversations with people. I thought, what could I say to Eddie Izzard? And I don't know if you've ever watched an Eddie Izzard sketch, but immediately I thought, shall I say to him, cake or death? Cake or death. Have you ever seen that sketch? Maybe you have. Clearly not. Okay, never mind. It's a famous sketch, but I decided not to because, you know, let's face it, he's probably heard that joke about 1,000 times and it wouldn't have been very original. I was trying to work out who this man was and what to say to him. But Bartimaeus knew immediately who Jesus was. He knew that he was a king, yes, but he knew that he was a merciful king. And he knew exactly what to say. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus asks him, what can I do for you, Bartimaeus? He doesn't hesitate. He says, Rabboni, I want to see. What is Bartimaeus doing? He's praying. The word rabbi that we read out earlier was never ever used, or hardly ever used, to another human being. It was only really ever used to God. Bartimaeus realized that Jesus was God, and so he prays in incredible faith. If this is God, he can heal my blindness. And so he says, I want to see. And of course, Jesus heals him. Let me ask you a question. Have you realized who Jesus is? Have you realized that he is a king, but he is a merciful king, that he is God? Now, I know for many of you here, you've heard that lots of times before. Lots and lots of times, probably from me in the past, and certainly I'm sure from Bart as well. But has it really infiltrated to the depths of your heart? And I think this is the test, if it has. How do you pray? Because Bartimaeus is praying to Jesus. He's saying, God, I'd like to see. And the basis of his prayer is not, God, give it to me now. In the passage just before, in Mark 10, James and John approach Jesus with their mum. And verse 35, if you've got your Bible open, they say, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. In other words, Jesus, we demand this from you. You should need, you know, a bit like a child. I'm looking forward to when Grace starts doing that kind of wonderful thing for me. Maybe not. We want you to do this for us, Jesus. We deserve it. We are your disciples. So surely you can give it to us. And Jesus asks them the same question as Jesus later asked Bartimaeus. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Verse 36. And they say, verse 37, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. In other words, Jesus, give me power, give me prestige, give me status. Not a great motive for prayer at all. But do you see? They realize who Jesus is. They realize he's a king because they're saying, in your new kingdom, Jesus, can I sit at your right? Can I sit at your left? They get half the picture. And many of us get half the picture about who Jesus is. We get that he's a king, but we don't really get how we can approach him as a merciful king. And so our prayers can turn out just like James and John. God, give us this. Give us whatever we ask. Instead of, in your mercy. I loved it when Barbara prayed. It's a liturgy from the Church of England. You know the response. Whenever she prayed, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And it's not about saying the right words, although that can be helpful. It's about a heart attitude that says to Jesus, as we approach him in prayer, God, I don't deserve anything, but I know you love to show your goodness to me. I know that when I'm in distress or in difficulty, or even if I'm not, you love to show your goodness to me. And so I don't necessarily say, you'll definitely give this to me, but I know you love to, because you love me and you care. Is that the basis on which you pray? Is that the basis that you go, God, it's It's because of your mercy that I could even approach you, that I could even ask you for anything. Bartimaeus, even though he's blind, sees who Jesus is. He sees that he's a king, but he sees that he's a merciful king. And that affects the way he talks to Jesus, and it should affect the way we talk to Jesus too. So, he sees Jesus' identity, but secondly, he sees Jesus' priority. I don't know if you've ever tried to write a list of your priorities. I've done this before, and I start writing my list. I normally think, well, that's quite a good list. I put God at the top, and then I maybe put law and grace and, you know, other things like work and church. I kind of put them down as well. And I then look back at my list and think, I shouldn't really perhaps change much about my list, but I'm not really living this list at all. It's kind of a little bit skewed if I was to actually write down what my actual priorities look like in my everyday life. But Bartimaeus sees what Jesus' priority is. He's not afraid to call out in the crowd, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd think, oh, Jesus won't be interested in this guy. He's blind. He's on the floor. He's on the roadside. He's a beggar. He's the poor. Oh, you know, Jesus surely hasn't got time for him. I mean, he's on the way to an important festival. And perhaps if they knew a little bit more, they might even say, Jesus is on the way to the most important mission ever. A mission to the cross. Perhaps if I was in the shoes of Jesus with a large crowd, I might feel really good about myself and have a probably my ego would be exploding because everyone's really fascinated by me and following me and asking me questions or whatever else. But Jesus doesn't have these blind faults. He's not so focused on the mission of the cross that he doesn't see what's going on around him. He is focused on the mission of the cross. And certainly God gives us a mission in life and we should focus on that. But it's not at the expense of seeing Bartimaeus. It's not at the expense of seeing the individual. Jesus sees Bartimaeus, even though he is, in that culture, a nobody, a nothing. The lowest of the low, at the bottom of the pile. I wonder, do you know that? Do you know that even in a crowd like we are here today, Jesus does something very similar? Look at verse 49, after the crowd rebuked him, Jesus stopped and said, call him. He stopped for Bartimaeus. I love what Eugene Peterson says in the Message. He says, Jesus stopped in his tracks for Bartimaeus. And this morning, Jesus stops in his tracks for you. Whoever you are, you might be really rich. Or you might be really poor, like Bartimaeus. You might be really well thought of, or you might think everyone doesn't think very much of you. You might be really able-bodied, or you might not be. But Jesus stops for you, and he calls you by name, because he wants to talk with you, and he wants relationship with you. He loves you. He is a God that stops for the individual, and he stops for you. When I was going through a particularly challenging time, I remember a friend of mine called Steve stopping for me. And I remember he was going to a 50th birthday party of one of his really close friends, and he had a very busy life, had three children, all going through some really challenging things at the time. And he called round at my house at 10:30, knocked on the door, and spent half an hour with me. He stopped with me. And it was simply amazing. I felt so incredibly loved. And if you've ever experienced anything like that, let me tell you this. Jesus' love for you is even greater than that. He stops for you like no one else. He's got all the time in the world for you. Because he's eternal. And like us finite people, he stops for you. But he doesn't just stop for the individual. I want you to see something else as well. And I'd never noticed this when I'd read Mark's Gospel. Because the thing is, when we read the Bible, we come with glasses. I know I don't have glasses on, but we come with these spectacles, if you like, where we only see certain things because of our worldview, because of the way of our culture. And in our culture, our Western culture, we normally see things in a very individualistic way. So when we say Jesus stops for the individual, everyone goes, oh, yes, yes, I've seen that before. But actually, there's another way of seeing things as well. Because Jesus doesn't just stop for the individual. He stops for the community. He stops for the community. Because he's not just interested in transforming one person's life. He wants to see this community in which Bartimaeus lives changed forever. I don't know if you notice what Jesus says to call Bartimaeus. If I was Jesus, I would have said, Bartimaeus, come to me. I would have maybe said his name or something. That would be really powerful, wouldn't it? But did you notice Jesus doesn't do that? Look again at verse 49. It says, Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up on your feet, he's calling you. Who called Bartimaeus? It was the crowd. The crowd called Bartimaeus. Why did Jesus do that? It's because he wants to change the community. What's he saying to the crowd? He's saying, I'm not going to directly rebuke you for your utter horribleness to this beautiful person who's made in the image of God, who I care about so much, but I'm going to get you to join in my mission to bring people to me. I'm going to say, you call him. And when you read through the Gospels, you quite often see that Jesus asks other people to do things so that the mission that Jesus started can carry on. And his call to us is to just the same call as he said to the crowd, call others to me. Call others to me. As you know, or many of you will know, when Laura and I were here and I was on staff, I did some of the youth work. And when a child or young person started bullying someone else, I would very often stand up for them because I was bullied as a child and I hated it. So I would say something like this. I would say, how dare you say that to them? How would you feel it if they did that to you? And they would maybe be a bit surprised because I was being very direct with them, because I'm not always very direct. And I'd walk out the room, and sometimes they wouldn't carry on, but other times they would. But Jesus goes about it very differently, doesn't he? He says, join in with me. I want you to call him. I want you to look out for the downtrodden. I want you to look out for the poor. I want you to look out for the oppressed. Because that's what Jesus' heart is. He wants people to be called to him. And he especially wants us to call the poor and the oppressed. And I'll tell you why. It's not because Jesus prefers them to the rich and people of good status. It's because they so often get left out. And Jesus doesn't want them to, because he loves them so much and cares for them so much. I wonder how good we are at calling those that are on the margins, at loving those that are on the sidelines, at caring for the poor. It's really interesting what Jesus does, isn't it? He says to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? The Son of God, even he doesn't make assumptions about Bartimaeus' needs. I love what James Edward says about this. He says, surely Bartimaeus' needs should be obvious to Jesus. The most practical response would be for Jesus to heal him and be on his way. But for Jesus, Bartimaeus is not a problem to be dealt with. Jesus will not do something to him, but something with him. Jesus will not do something to him, but something with him. He comes alongside Bartimaeus. And it's so easy to do things to people, isn't it? But Jesus comes alongside Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? And of course, Bartimaeus does want to see. And Jesus heals him. And he says, it's because of your great faith, Bartimaeus, that I've healed you. And that word healing does, of course, mean that he healed his eyes, but it has another meaning in terms of being saved, in terms of salvation. Bartimaeus became a Christian at that point, and we know that because he walked along the road with Jesus, following Jesus. Our call as Christians is to look out and not just be so focused on one thing that we don't see others around us, but to love them and to draw them into Jesus, and particularly those who are on the margins. Is that something that you're doing? Is that something that maybe is a blind spot to you? It's so easy, isn't it, to just be so busy to not see those in so much need around us, whether that's across the globe or whether that's people that we walk past on the street who are in need, or perhaps people in church. I'm sure this morning there are people that are finding life very hard, and sometimes they just need a kind word and just to be shown something of God's great love. Bartimaeus responds in incredible faith, doesn't he? And he then follows Jesus to the cross. Because you might say, Mark, this sounds really good, but it's really hard. How do I actually do this? How does this actually work? Because if I go outside these church doors, I would have thought, well, that's quite a good thing to aspire to, but in reality, it's quite difficult. And, of course, Bartimaeus, he follows Jesus on the way to the cross, on the road to Jerusalem. Why? Because he's experienced the goodness and mercy of Jesus. And the more you experience the goodness and mercy of Jesus, the more you just go, it just comes out. You just want to be merciful and kind and have time for others. The more you experience Jesus stopping for you and taking time out to be with you. Some of us are so busy that we don't actually experience Jesus saying, I want to be with you. I want to have time with you, because we're on the run so much. But Jesus would just call us aside and say, I'm stopping for you. Will you stop as well and take time to be with me? Because if you do that, then you'll find that you'll take time for others as well. Because when you experience mercy, when your cup is full of mercy, then that cup is full to share with other people as well. Bartimaeus, despite the fact being blind, saw two things about Jesus: his identity, and that caused him to refer to him as God and to pray on the basis of mercy. And secondly, he saw Jesus' priority for the individual, but also for the community. And so he followed Jesus on the road to the cross. Will you do the same? Will you do the same? I'm going to pray. Why don't you bow your heads? And I'm just going to give a bit of time for you just to reflect and ask God what he wants, he wants you to respond this morning. Our Father, we thank you that you stop for us, even now, and you love to show your goodness to us. Father, I particularly pray for anyone that's finding life really hard right now, that they would experience your goodness, your mercy, you stopping them, stopping for them, you calling them by name. Pray you'd lift them up. And Father, would we as your people be people that have so experienced your mercy that we show that to others? We show your goodness. We stop for others. Thank you that you've given us the immense privilege of joining in with you to love and stop for those on the fringes, those on the margins. Whether that's in our church or our family or friends or in our community or across the world. And we pray that now you would come by your Holy Spirit, fill us and help us and give us courage to live for you, to be like Jesus in our world that often pushes other people to the side. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.